Well, welcome to our third in our series, looking around the Sussex Cricket Museum. I'm Adrian Harms, I work for BBC Radio Sussex, and we've already had two episodes where we've looked, only skimmed the surface of what goes on here inside the museum. In the last episode, we spoke about a couple of cricketers here at Sussex who are etched in the history of the club, particularly C.B. Fry. Prior to that, we'd spoken about Ranji as well. And I think it's fair to say that they are names that perhaps some Sussex cricket followers, and indeed cricket lovers and followers, would be aware of those names. However, maybe this gentleman doesn't come in that category, and perhaps that'll be a little bit unfair. So let's find out about who we're talking about today. And I'm standing to look at a wonderful book here that is full of amazing photographs, which we'll talk about as we go through the podcast today. James Jemmy Dean of Duncton. Duncton is a most beautiful village, not far from Chichester, actually not a million miles away from Goodwood Racecourse. The Sussex Ploughboy. We'll find more about that as well. It's written by Jason Moore and edited by Roger Packham and Nicholas Sharp. And I'm delighted that Jason and Roger are with me today. So, gentlemen, good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Adrian.
Great to see you both. First of all, when you get a cricket book like this, Jason, and it's full of amazing photographs, and we'll talk about them, where on earth do you get those from? Where did your research take you to?
All around Sussex, really. I'm fortunate I could speak to Roger and Nicholas, who provided me with some pictures, and I could see images from Nicholas's collection, which are on display in the museum now. And then it's a matter of various books, the West Sussex Records Office, looking at various archives. And just hoping that you can find something that fits what you're looking for. And
you've done that, and we'll talk about that as we go through today. Now, just tell us about your relationship, your ancestry, I should say, with James Jemmy Dean of Duncton.
James Jemmy Dean will be my third great-grandfather. I started doing my ancestry when my grandfather and my mother both passed away a few years ago in quite close succession. My grandfather had this lithograph of a cricketer on his wall. And as football mad children, we never were really bothered about who it was. And I think
shame on you.
I know. And this has become some. And I had all these years my grandfather to question him about him, because my grandfather lived with his own grandfather, which was James Dean's son. So I decided that I wanted to, my research quickly left me, my research led me back to this lithograph, and I became quite interested in who it was, and I wanted to find out a bit about him. So I did as everyone does, and they go on Google and they see what they can find out, and there wasn't a great deal of information, so I started digging around a bit further and going down to the records offices, and it all kind of started from there.
And is this the first book you've ever written?
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Wow, and it's not your profession?
No, I work in IT for my local authority.
Right.
And before I started, I didn't really know much about cricket.
Right.
And 2 years later, I know very little about cricket. But it's a complicated game.
But you know an awful lot about James. So this was something that really came about through you had no intention before you wrote this book of you knew a little about the history, but not a whole lot.
No, I knew next to nothing about it, and but I did get quite involved with it, and my wife, very patient. I spent a lot of hours in the evening finding out more, and then I got involved in the British Newspaper Archive website, where I started finding out that I could find all these old articles and that would mention James Dean. And I think, okay, I'm beginning to learn a bit, not just about cricket, a bit about his life. And then, one thing led to another, and I became quite obsessed by it. And I wanted to find out more and more, because his life seemed really interesting. He was a sawyer. He worked on it. He was a farm boy, and he just became this fantastic cricketer. And not many people really knew much about him, and so I kind of made it my goal to find out about this guy, and to do something that I think my granddad would have been quite proud of.
Well, I think he would have been very proud. Let's come to Roger Packham. Roger, you're one of the editors of the book. When did you first meet Jason? And were you pleased that someone had gone into this much depth and research on James Dean?
Well, yes, I was very pleased to meet Jason. I suspect his first port of call was with this museum, and then he was invited to Nicholas Sharp's house. Nicholas is the great Sussex cricket memorabilia collector, and he was a great assistant, lent lots of things for Jason's book, lots of relevant prints and things. And I have a great interest in Sussex cricket, particularly from that period. Knew quite a bit about James Dean, particularly that he was a great friend of John Wisden. And John Wisden is still a household name, I hope, because of that wonderful yellow annual that occurs and has been occurring every year since 1864. And Wisden and Dean were great friends. And as Jason explains in the book, it was Wisden who set Dean up in the public house in Duncton when he retired. And Jason's made several visits there, made friends with the landlady, and that pub is highly recommended. Lots of cricket memorabilia around the walls.
We'll talk about that as well a little bit later on. What's fascinating me here is that Jason had no love of cricket before this happened. I mean, that makes it an extraordinary story in itself.
It does. Jason admits that he knew very little. He knows an awful lot more now. But when you trace your family tree and you hit on these people, and suddenly you're captured by the magic of these old-time cricketers and their lifestyle and how cricket was played in those days and the different forms of bowling that were there and how he adapted to it, and how this country boy moved up to London to be employed by the MCC for 25 years and became quite not so gentlemanly as Wisden perhaps, but still quite a knowledgeable man of the world, and he retired back to Duncton where he was set up in the pub and loved by all the locals until he died on Christmas Day.
It's a wonderful story. Let's wander through the museum here, because I know there's a case down here, and we can talk a little bit about. Here we are. So, and as we've said with a lot of these pods, and I've said to Keith Ridge, who what do I call you, Keith?
The curator
of the museum. In Australia, they call the guy who does the ground curator, don't they? Anyway, Keith isn't the groundsman. He's the curator here at the museum. And throughout this little series that we've been doing, we've been talking about bringing museums up to date. So when people come into the museum, they're not just looking and thinking, what on earth is all about? And I noticed, Keith, that on here, you've got one of your famous QR codes as well.
Yes, we certainly have, Adrian. I mean, we had somebody in here on Sunday when admission to the ground was free. Family with two young children, and the daughter was doing a project on Victorians. So we showed her this case here, obviously in the height of the Victorian era, and Nicholas was here, and he gave her a good explanation of James Dean, and in fact presented her with a book to do her further research on. So yes, the QR codes appeal to kids who have got their iPhones and can immediately access the information that we've got in the museum.
Wonderful. iPhones and museums, it's amazing, isn't it? Let's have a look here, because there's a series of photographs here. So we're bringing Jason and Roger, and you can explain some of these photographs, but also some of the story. I don't want to take the story away, but born the 4th of January 1816, died, as Roger was saying, on the 25th of December 1881. Sussex All England and United All England 11 and MCC ground stuff. So people listening to us today, Jason, why should people be interested in the story of James Dean? Just tell us a little bit about his early life and how he came to be involved in cricket.
James Dean didn't really start out as somebody who was have any aspirations of being a cricketer, as far as I'm aware. He became a cricketer through his aunt. Barbara Dean married William Broadbridge, who was the brother of James Broadbridge, a very famous Sussex cricketer from the early 19th century, one of the best all-rounders of his time. And he took James Dean under his wing. I imagine that they would, I would imagine that they were playing cricket together in the garden, and or they lived there on a farm, and saw something in him. Or as James Warbridge says, you know, he's got the gift. And so James Dean went from being a sawyer, where he was after his father. And
tell us about a sawyer. What's a sawyer?
Somebody cuts down trees.
Right. Okay. That was okay.
Pretty much. And then he would work the farms with the Broadbridge brothers in Dunkton, and on the back of the farm, there's a big farmhouse. There's a picture in the book, and it was used for bowling practice. And I've had a couple of visits to the barn, and you go in there and you say, yeah, this just looks like an indoor.
I've seen the picture of the barn actually, mm-hmm. which is a fact. I don't know if there's a picture in the case here of the barn. Yeah. But there we are. I mean, this is great radio, isn't it? But I mean, it looks like a wonderful old barn. And in the book here, an inside view of Church Farm Barn in Dunkton, a photograph taken by yourself, Jason. So this is where he used to practice.
Yeah. So this is where he'd do his indoor practice. That's really sort of how he got started. And they would start. They did a few. He played a few times for Dunkton. Before this game here, the parish of Dunkton versus the parish of Brighton, where I think really it's where James Dean was really noticed for his potential as a cricketer. Now, this match took place in October.
Well, that struck me. Monday the 6th of October, Crumbs' season must have almost been finished, wasn't it?
Well, yes, this was it. It's an interesting story because James Broadbridge had been dropped by Sussex, and he was replaced by a chap called George Goad, and it frustrated James Broadbridge so much that he challenged Brighton to a game with his players from Dunkton, and they said that they wouldn't be able to get the game in because it was too close to the end of the season, but he persisted, and the game did take place. Not only one game, two games took place before the end of the season.
Interesting here, Roger. I can see on the Dunkton side, there are four Broadbridges. One, two, three, four Broadbridges.
Yes.
And there's James Dean. I don't know if he batted at number eight, but there's another Dean there as well.
There are three Deans. Yes, absolutely.
So tell me about all three. How are they related?
Well, the three Deans were brothers, and the four Broadbridges were brothers. And out of that total of seven, I should think four, if not five, played for Sussex at some time or another. But the great name there is James Broadbridge, and he is remembered in Sussex cricket history or world cricket history as being the progenitor of round arm bowling.
Right.
And Broadbridge and the famous Lily White were the practitioners of this newfangled round arm bowling, getting the arm up to the level of the shoulder. Highly controversial, against the laws of the day. And in 1827, there were three great matches played, Sussex versus England, and they were called test matches to test the merits of round-arm bowling against those of under-arm bowling.
Where were those games played, Roger?
They were played at Lord's, at Sheffield and at Brighton. And huge crowds came to see them, a lot was depending on them, and the England boys had to bowl underarm, and the Sussex boys were bowling the newfangled round arm. And it took a little while for the MCC to pass it as law, but it did happen a little bit later on, and gradually the height of the bowling arm got higher, and then it took until 1864 before overarm bowling became legalised by the MCC.
I've got to ask you, who won those games?
Sussex won the first two, and they were winning the last one, but the story is James Broadbridge threw his bat at the ball and got caught, and Sussex narrowly lost, but the series was won by Sussex, so good old Sussex,
yeah, good old
beating
Sussex.
England. Yeah,
good old Sussex by the sea.